Hi, and welcome to Law for Community Workers On The Go. This is a series of podcasts brought to you by Legal Aid New South Wales. In each episode, one of us from the Community Legal Education branch will be chatting to experts on different legal topics. We're really excited to have you all listening today, and we hope that you'll learn something new and interesting.
Hi, everyone. My name is Natalie. I'm from the Community Legal Education branch here at Legal Aid New South Wales, and I'm here today with Stephen Lasker, who's a criminal lawyer and heads up the driver disqualification team at Legal Aid, and also with Lynn Worrell, who's from our WDO, or Work and Development Order team at Legal Aid. How are you guys?
Yeah, we're good, thank you.
Well, thank you, Natalie.
Thanks for having us.
Excellent. So what we'll be talking about today is some new reforms, some new laws that started late last year. And I guess the purpose of all our podcasts is to reach out to as many community workers and frontline workers as possible and let them know about, sometimes it might be a new law or an area of the law that's changed. And to be those, I know we've talked about this term, Linny, to be problem spotters. So we really rely on community workers to be those problem spotters.
That's exactly right, because the community workers out there, they're the ones that have the face-to-face contact with the clients, and it's absolutely fantastic and vital for us to be able to get those good referrals.
Yeah, so I'll get Stephen in a minute to talk about what we're talking about today. So they introduced this new law and why it's so important for community workers to know about it. And so I guess, yeah, if you're a community worker, frontline worker listening to the podcast today, what we want you to get out of this, I guess, is just know that there is this new law on driver disqualification reforms, which Stephen will explain, and we'll talk about where to go to get legal help. So I'm going to ask, before you launch into talking about these new laws, I'm just going to ask both of you first, what do you love about the work you do at Legal Aid New South Wales?
Well, for me, I do a lot of work in rural and remote areas. So like I love going out to the country, and I love those communities. But I also love being able to give good practical advice to clients to sort out their issues that can really stop them getting ahead, like unpaid fines, debts, things like, you know, housing and Centrelink problems.
And for me, it's also about that practical advice that Lenny just spoke of, but also as a criminal lawyer, people are coming to you in a time of crisis where they've been charged by the police with an offence, and for some people that's a very unfamiliar experience, and they're stressed and they're very anxious about the process, and just being able to take them through the process and explain it to them and then see them, a lot of them visibly relax and become a little less anxious when they know that this is not a big scary exercise that they're going through on their own, that they've got some advice and some assistance to assist them through it. And I've got years of experience working in the local court and crime advice clinics. And the particular work that I'm doing now with these reforms I'm about to tell you about, I've seen many people affected by very, very long periods of disqualification, and people who have turned their lives around since the offending that led to it. And until these reforms, that they've come to see us about these disqualifications and not being able to work and or get other employment and opportunities, the advice until now has been pretty much there is nothing that we can do. But this reform has changed all that, and that's something I'm very excited to be part of.
Great. So we're talking today about a new law in New South Wales. It started on the 28th of October in 2017. So Stephen, can you briefly explain what that new law is? And I guess you've started talking about the background to why.
Yeah, there's a number of aspects of the reform being October of last year, as you said, the 28th of October. The central aspect of the reform is a new scheme where people can now apply to the local court for the court to consider removing their outstanding disqualification periods. There are other reforms as well. There was some changing and some reduction of the penalties for unauthorised driving offences. So there was reduction in the available imprisonment sentences and the disqualification periods. as well as for people who continue to drive unlawfully and whilst disqualified. There is some sanctions that have been introduced, some increased powers of police to seize motor vehicles and confiscate number plates. But certainly the central aspect of the reform is this scheme to apply for disqualifications to be lifted. It comes about as from a number of things, and certainly a recognition that lengthy disqualification periods haven't been an effective incentive for people to comply with the disqualification periods and stay off the road. In fact, it's in some ways it works the opposite, and it encourages driving unlawfully. It can do, because if the disqualification periods are so far out into the future, there's no light at the end of the tunnel. And if the time that they can validly apply for a licence and drive is so far into the future, they lose sight of that. And then, especially in rural and remote areas where there's less opportunities for public transport, the temptation to drive sometimes becomes overwhelming, and then they get into this downward spiral. So it's giving people a second chance, a chance to have shown that they've mended their ways with their driving, to be able to make this application in the hope of the disqualifications being lifted and get back to lawful and regulated driving.
Great. And do we know how many people in New South Wales are disqualified from driving, or how many might be eligible under this scheme?
I don't have the actual number of people overall that are disqualified, but what I do know is when this reform was introduced on the 28th of October, a check of all the records held by the RMS showed that approximately 5,800 people would be eligible to apply under this scheme from day one. So that's an enormous amount of people. Unfortunately, that's not a list that we can share, that we can have. We don't know who these 5,800 people are, and it's our job to try and find them.
And we were talking before that people did get letters from the RMS, but that database wasn't necessarily complete.
No, the letters were sent from the RMS database, and people who have been disqualified for lengthy periods, they may have moved, and if they're disqualified and no prospect of a licence back anytime soon, they're not likely to have updated their address with the RMS. So just because you didn't get a letter, if you're thinking, well, I didn't get a letter, it's not for me, that's not the case. Yeah. People should make some inquiries about their eligibility.
And this is what part of the point of this podcast and community education that we're doing from Legal Aid is to let those community workers and frontline workers know that this law exists. So those 5,000 and what was it?
5,800 people.
5,800 people. If one of them comes to you, you know that, there's a new law and you might be eligible to apply.
Yeah, that's the greatest hope, is that people who are dealing with the clients or the people that are disqualified will know and hear this podcast or heard of these reforms through other means, and say to their person that they're dealing with, well, maybe you should have a look at this. I heard them talking about this the other day.
And we would love community workers too to actually screen their clients on intakes. Just, you know, ask the question, do you have outstanding fines? Are you a disqualified driver?
That's a great point. Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And we're going to talk more about that sort of, we call it like a legal health check or law checkup. So there'll be more information from Legal Aid about that in the future. So keep an eye out for that. So if you are a community worker, frontline worker, and you're helping someone who says they've lost their license, what's the process? So talk us through, Stephen, how do people go about accessing this?
Well, certainly if you're a community worker or a frontline worker and you have someone that you're dealing with that's disqualified, the first thing is tell them about this scheme. Tell them that you've heard about this chance that they might be able to apply to have their disqualifications lifted.
Yeah.
And there's some information out there, there's brochures and materials available to give some background to this scheme. But the first thing that a person will need to do is to apply for an up-to-date copy of their driving record. And there's a process in place for that. It's not the normal record that the person will go and get if they go to the RMS and pay for one. It's a free record, but you need to use a specific form.
And also that is something that Legal Aid or a community legal centre may be able to help with as well. A lot of our more vulnerable clients struggle with paperwork. They would struggle coming up with the ID requirements for that application. So I would encourage people to get help at that early stage, Stephen.
Certainly.
And that form, that's on the RMS website?
Yes.
Yeah, under the disqualification. So you can find that form. Because that's as well, I guess one of the main points of this is to that that's the first step. So we'll talk about how people can get legal advice, but they need to have that record.
Yeah, first. It's a driving record that if they are eligible and they're going to make an application, they need to have obtained that anyway. And it comes with a covering letter from the RMS that they also need to retain, because if they make an application, they need to provide that as well. So it's a good first step. And then once they receive that record, then they can get some legal advice as to whether or not they're eligible to apply under this scheme.
And that's what your team's been set up to do, specifically the legal advice.
Yes, legal advice, and then assist people that are eligible with their applications and filing them and getting them before the court. And if they're eligible for legal aid, there's also representation available for their application when it's heard at court.
And the first step is for people to go to their local legal aid office.
Yes, if they live in an area where there is a legal aid office, then that should be their first step to get that legal advice once they have their driving record. If they don't live in an area that's serviced by a legal aid office, then certainly my team is available and set up to assist people in the rural and remote areas and areas that aren't traditionally serviced by an in-house legal aid office. So there are some options out there regardless of where you live in the state for assistance from legal aid.
And the Aboriginal Legal Service and community legal centres are also working in this?
Yes, yes. There's a number of obviously legal advice and service providers that are out there.
Great. And we'll give some email addresses at the end so people can jot those down. So Stephen, as you said, this scheme's been operating only for a few months, but has your team helped some people already through it to, I guess, get their license back? And have you seen the difference that this can make in people's lives?
Certainly, our first client that we assisted under this scheme is probably a really good example of how the scheme can assist someone who has turned their life around in very different circumstances to when the circumstances they were in when they accrued these long disqualification periods. This wasn't a rural and remote area, but it was in Mount Druitt in Sydney, but still faced some difficulties with public transport and the care of young children. This was a person who was disqualified until 2034 and hadn't had any driving offences for the last 6 years. And the last offence, and since 2003, the only driving offences were drive whilst disqualified. And when I say only, I don't mean that's not a serious offence, but it's not an offence that has a specific public safety aspect to it. It's a matter of driving whilst not authorised rather than the manner of their driving. And that person had recently assumed the care of the three children under 3 years of age. His partner, for her own circumstances, wasn't able to provide the care to the children anymore, so he assumed that care. And where he was residing in Mount Druitt, he had to take the children to daycare twice a week, which involved a 40-minute trip there and back each time. 20 minutes of that was a bus ride and a 20-minute walk with three children, 1, 2, and 3 years old. And anyone with young children can appreciate, and even without young children, would appreciate the heat of Western Sydney and the unideal circumstances walking your children those distances. And that's in addition to the family shopping that he had to do. And all of that whilst not being able to drive because of this disqualification hanging over his head till 2034.
So he found out about the...
Through a referral from one of our other solicitors in another division that was helping with another matter and asked the question like Lynn just suggested, are you disqualified? Do you have fines? Just through those questions, found that the disqualification issue. And he had his application heard and it was successful and the disqualifications have all now been lifted and he's applied for and has obtained his licence and now enjoys the opportunity of taking his young children to events that he previously couldn't because he didn't have a licence. When I was talking to him, there was Disney on Ice or something from Campbelltown that he wanted to go to and take his kids, but he just couldn't practically do it without a licence. So he's now looking forward to all those opportunities coming back to him.
It's life-changing, isn't it?
It is, especially for this person and the circumstances they were in. And the 20 disqualified to 2034 for things that happened in a different stage of his life. So that's one of the very pleasing aspects of this reform.
Yeah, great. And did he have unpaid fines?
I think they had already been dealt with because he was already engaged in the other services with legal aid about the fines. So at the time his application was heard, he had that all in order.
But that's a big part of this conversation. So if, and maybe Vinnie, you can explain, so if somebody has unpaid fines or outstanding debts with RMS, then they can't apply to get their licence back before.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah. Revenue New South Wales will put a block on a person who has outstanding fines, so they won't be eligible to apply for their licence anyway. So if Stephen goes to all the trouble of getting the disqualification lifted, if there's outstanding fines, they're still not eligible to apply. So look, those fines need to be put under management, and there are like several ways to do that, even a simple payment plan, or a which can be quite cheap for a person who is on Centrelink, or a work and development order, which is a scheme whereby a person can do perhaps volunteer work, activities, programs, mental health or medical treatment. Those activities can be used to reduce the fines for up to $1,000 a month. So it's very generous.
And someone doesn't have to have paid off all their fines to apply to get their licence back. They just need to be honest on one of the schemes.
All that the RMS and Revenue New South Wales ask is that the person has their fines under management. So either on a WDO, that counts, or a simple payment plan. Then they'll be off Revenue New South Wales's radar and, be able to get on with their life.
Right. I know we have some people listening to podcasts sometimes who are from border areas in New South Wales. They might live near another state or territory, and there might be people who are the transient between the two, or community workers who work between the two. This scheme's just for New South Wales, isn't it? But how might it apply in those border areas?
Well, generally speaking, if you're disqualified in one state, you can't get a licence and drive in another state.
Yeah.
So if you're living in a state and you cannot get a licence because you've got these disqualifications in New South Wales, then certainly this is something, the scheme that you should look into, and as to whether or not you can get those disqualifications removed. Because if they were your only disqualifications, then that may entitle you to apply for a licence in your now chosen state. Yeah. The scheme won't remove disqualifications from other states, but it might make your situation better in the state that you now live in if your New South Wales disqualifications are removed.
Right, yeah, that makes sense. And we were talking before about some people who just won't be eligible to apply. They might say, they might, you know, come up with that, yeah, I've got my licence disqualified, but they still can't apply for that under this scheme. So what categories of people does that apply to?
There's essentially two questions that will determine whether someone can apply under this new scheme. The first one is, have they committed any very serious traffic offences in the past? Have they ever been convicted of a set list of very serious traffic offences? Yeah. And they're offences like driving a motor vehicle and causing the death or grievous bodily harm to another person, or predatory driving, or some people might know of Sky's Law offence. That's the offence where there's a police pursuit and the person doesn't stop and drive dangerously. It's those types of offences. If you've ever had one of those, you won't be able to apply under the scheme.
So not things like high-range drink driving?
No. So they are the most serious category of driving offences that will rule people out of this scheme. And obviously people will be caught up with those offences, but hopefully that's not going to be the majority of people.
Yeah.
So the only other question then as to eligibility, if you haven't had any of those offences, is you need to serve or demonstrate a driving offence-free period. So you need to have a period leading up to the time you make your application to the court where you haven't had any driving offences of any sort. And that offence-free period will either be 2 years or 4 years, and that whether it's two or four depends on the nature of the offences for which you still have existing disqualification periods. So you mentioned drink driving a moment ago. If you have a drink driving disqualification, you're either serving or still yet to serve. That will put you in the four-year category, or what we call any other major offences like driving under the influence or driving in a manner dangerous. They're in the four-year category. But if all your remaining disqualification periods are for things like your drive whilst disqualified offence or some habitual offender declarations that are still to serve, then that's in the two-year category. So those two questions are really the questions that determine eligibility to apply.
And if someone has a client who's in jail, can they still apply under this scheme?
They can still apply. There's nothing in the legislation that would stop a person being in custody from applying. The idea of the 2 or 4 year offence-free period is it really is some evidence of a change in driving behaviour or attitude on the part of the person. Some reason we would say the court might have some confidence that if they remove the disqualification periods, that they're going to apply for their licence to become a lawful and law-abiding driver. If a person has been able to serve that 2 or 4 year offence-free period because they've been in jail and didn't have an opportunity to drive anyway, it doesn't stop them applying, but they just can't point to the offence-free period as being this evidence of a change in behaviour. So the court will look at that issue, but it's not one that prevents them from driving. They just don't have that particular argument in their favour.
Thank you. I think we've all got a pretty good idea about this new scheme. And I guess just to wrap up, can I ask each of you to say what would you, because I guess that some people are confused between different parts of legal aid. So there's, we have different divisions, so like criminal law division and civil law division. So maybe talk a bit about your division, so how you work together. And also if you're talking to a community worker, frontline worker, what's the one message you want to get across to them for today around this issue?
Well, from a criminal law perspective, the work of my team now is somewhat unique amongst the criminal law division, because criminal lawyers are generally only involved once there is a problem, once the client has been charged by the police and has a court date to go to. So assisting a person with their own application, bringing their own matter before the court, is somewhat not the traditional role of a criminal lawyer. And that's one of the reasons I enjoy this type of work, plus for the benefits of this scheme, with the one case that I mentioned earlier and people struggling under these long disqualification periods are another reason why I really enjoy this type of work. It's not being simply reactive to a person's got a problem, they've got a charge, they have to go to court, and now let's assist them. It's more proactive in putting this application before the court. And there should always be this interplay between a criminal solicitor and the civil solicitor, and the looking out and triaging for issues such as outstanding fines, but even more so in the work that we're now doing, because fines and people being disqualified go hand in hand. So
yeah, and if we're thinking about the client, the individual, they're going to have multiple issues, not these separate separated out issues.
Yeah, I think it's all about working holistically to get the best outcome for the client, and I do a lot of outreach and I see a lot of people, so I'm always asking those questions and being able to make good referrals. It's really important. I think legal aid's doing that really well now between family, civil law and criminal law.
So before I give the contact details for people, what's one message you'd give to community workers today?
The one message I would give is that we know there's 5,800 people out there that can apply under this scheme, but we don't know who they are. It's very likely that you will be talking to these people. So we would really like you to, as Lynn suggested earlier, ask those questions. Do you have fines? Are you disqualified? And tell them about this scheme.
Yeah, that's right, Stephen. Be our problem spotters for us. Make those early referrals to us as well, and hopefully we can assist the clients to get an outcome earlier rather than later.
So to contact the driver disqualification team, I'll give you the law access number. That's like the first point of call for legal issues in New South Wales. They'll be able to tell you where your local legal aid office is. So that's 1300 888 529. So that's Law Access New South Wales. And the driver team, I'll give you the email address in case you're from one of those areas that's not near a legal aid office or maybe a community legal centre. The email address is all one word, driverteam@legalaid.nsw.gov.au. And for the issues around fines, so if people want to sort out their fines, at any stage, there's two. I'll give you one number, which is it's called the WDO hotline, which is run by
Revenue South Wales.
Yeah, yes. And that's 1300 478 879. So that's for vulnerable people, and there's experts on that line to assist with different ways to deal with fines.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And the WDO email address at Legal Aid here is WDO at legalaid.nsw.gov.au. And that's for any inquiries about fines or WGOs, or if your organisation wants to become a sponsor, WGO sponsor, you can email that address as well.
Yeah, and we have solicitors right throughout New South Wales, so like whole states covered. Yeah.
Great. All right, well, thank you so much to Stephen and Min today, and hopefully you can join us for our next webinar for community workers on the go. Thanks very much, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you're enjoying Law for Community Workers on the Go, make sure to spread the word. And if you have any feedback or even topic suggestions, please get in touch with us via email. Our address is cle@legalaid.newsouthwales.gov.au. We'd love to hear from you. So until next time, thanks again from the CLE branch here at Legal Aid New South Wales.